Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Text 38, Chapter 38, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Advanga Sangam Pranatam Kritanjalim. Mam Bhakshyate Kura Tate Yurushrava. Tadavayam janma brito mahiyasa naivadrito yo digamushya janmatat. Having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed heads and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Kura. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality fails to recognize is simply pitiable. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunlutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Siddhati Sapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vamsha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayegacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, greetings from Sridhar Mayapur. Please excuse me that last Sunday there was no class. My plane was late. I just completed a very busy week of facilitating the stay of a group of people interested in Krishna consciousness from Italy. And it was just really wonderful. It is my life that people should not miss the experience of the Dham. And that takes some, usually takes some appropriate guidance, and just wonderful, wonderful boat ride on the Ganga for 2 hours, and going to the Jagannath Mandir, Srivasangam, where the Kirtan movement began, Yoga Pit, birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, we couldn't go every place, but it was wonderful. And today I was invited to attend this appearance anniversary of one lady that died in Vrindavan named Suchi Rani. And her son is Ananda Tirtha. Very nice. They come to the West for 3 months. And his his wife is Radha Sindhuri, who helps organize Raghunath Swami's tours. And I was there in Vrindavan when she left. And famous kirtans by Madhava and Iyendra. And I just remember one thing she said that was very profound in terms of what bhakti is. She was a business lady who supported the Perth temple with her husband and, you know, gave classes and did so many things, but very, very dedicated to Guru and Krishna, and produced a wonderful son. And she said, I'm not advanced, but I know who is, and I serve them. And that was her mission in life. She served her gurus, her teachers, fully. And when I spoke, I told that story, and I also gave a definition of bhakti that my godbrother Pradyumna shared with me, that bhakti means to make oneself available. It's not a particular occupation that I'm a guru or that I'm a sannyasi or I'm a temple president or I'm a Sanskritist or I'm a collector or, you know, whatever you are, we each are gifted, even with a particular nature, mode, occupation, proclivities, so many things. But whatever you are, if you are available for service, then that's devotion. And it really transcends the modes. And therefore, there's verses like
Ho Pachato Griyanya Jivagre Vartate Namatubyam,
that one who has the holy name on his tongue, even once, he's considered to have bathed in all the holy rivers, read all the scriptures, you know, did everything. Because that's the culmination of the evolution of the soul, the willingness to serve and to be, to the willingness to be, to be being used for God's service, whatever one is. And therefore, someone may be in a higher mode, but less advanced in devotional service. With many Maya bodies that are in the mode of goodness, but not available for service. So a nice example. She did business. She was simple, very sober. But she was available to Krishna's will and order, which comes from the guru and gurus and those who represent Krishna. Their teachings are the words of Krishna. That's how Krishna speaks to us and tells us what he wants us to do. So it was nice example, a nice remembrance, a nice time there. Now today's verse, where I'll put it in context again, what we are studying. I wanted to read and study with all of you the pastimes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized to cultivate his Krishna consciousness. In other words, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, Krishna consciousness is your relationship with Krishna and ultimately the relationship you want to cultivate. And that's becoming a devotee. And I discussed this many times. And how you do this, one of the main ways you do this is by reading about the spirit of devotion that you aspire for. So Lord Chaitanya was aspiring for the mood he wanted to experience. It was Krishna in the form of his devotee, his eternal form as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. So I thought I would read those pastimes where that is highlighted, and therefore Lord Chaitanya meditated on them and prayed, this is what I want. And that's how it comes to you, by hearing about something and becoming attracted to something and desiring something. That's how it comes to you. So this particular pastime, of course, is going to lead up to Akura taking Krishna from Vrindavan, and what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to taste. What he wanted to taste was the sentence. What he wanted to taste was what Radharani was experiencing. Her love and her love in separation as Krishna was being taken from Vrindavan. God wanted that experience. What is that love like? When the love of Krishna is heightened to such a degree in this mood of separation, but within that story is also the devotion of Akura, who's given this mission by Kamsa to get Krishna and bring him to Mathura. So his enthusiasm to see Krishna, and I always say, you know, I summarize this story, the mood of Akura, today I will see the Lord of my life. And it's that type of anticipation, that desire for that goal, which is the practice of bhakti. The definition of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice, given by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is what sadhana is the things you do to get bhava. And the first thing you do is you desire it. And of course, that desire comes from hearing about it. So this is Akura. He's anticipating, and it's that prayer and anticipation that is the core of practice. Practice is not just the activity, it is the intention in which that activity is done. It's Krishna hearing your heart through the chanting of Hare Krishna. Bhurijan Prabhu gives a great example of that. I may take a little water. I think I got a frog in my throat. that there's a market here, and well, the famous market in Vrindavan is Lohi Bazaar, and the shopkeepers may be calling you as you walk by, and they'll say, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Bol Prabhu. What is their intention in calling Krishna's name? They're trying to get your intention to get money. So what Krishna is hearing in their chanting is, I want their money, I want their money. So bhakti is that voice, that heart. Therefore, Prabhupada said, and I think it's one of the most effective ways to chant japa, is listen to the sincerity of your chanting. Listen to the heart of it. You're chanting it, but why are you chanting it? So we see Akura's love, his pure devotion. And he's now envisioning it. He's now envisioning it. What will happen? What will happen? And he's envisioning that Krishna will recognize him. And at that time, that the birth becomes fulfilled. Because that's what self-realization is. That's what self-actualization is. It's the desire for a relationship with God, a desire to be who we are. And that's the whole problem. Our problem is we don't want to be what we are. And that desire to be what we're not is so intense that it causes the illusion of what we're not. It causes the illusion that we're not a devotee. But desire exceeds reality or capability. The desire obviously can only be fulfilled in illusion. So the pivotal point in self-actualization is to actually desire to be what you are in the core of your being. And understand that other conceptions are a product of our desire not to be that, but to be something else. When we desire to be the center, can only be fulfilled in the illusion that we are, because we're not the center. So we see in Akura someone who really wants to be what he is, which is a part of Krishna, the relationship with Krishna. And relationship means reciprocal. There's a mutual thing. And anyone who loves someone, the first thing they want is their love. If you love someone, there's nothing you want more than that person to recognize you. And there's nothing more you want than that person to love you. So when you love God, there's nothing more you want than to be embraced by God. And that's the purpose of life, that relationship. Because we're part of God, we're meant for His service. So we're defined, everything's defined by their relationship. To actually find out what our actual relationship is with reality. It's love. It's a personal thing. How wonderful. So it's beautiful. This is love. He's embraced. He can't wait to be embraced by Krishna. And then he envisions how he'll respond. He'll fold his hands, and how Krishna will respond to that. He'll address him. He'll be embraced. He'll then stand and bow his head, and then Krishna will address him. And that is the purpose of life. And indeed, if one does not have that relationship with Krishna, and therefore if you're not recognized by Krishna, which means what's recognized, your relationship with Krishna, then that's pitiable, it says. It's pitiable. And it really is. We're really lost without our relationship with God and being cognizant of it. We're really lost. It's got 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no favorite and no dear most friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable, or fit to be neglected. All the same, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotee in whatever manner they worship him, just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them. Interesting, the Lord has no favorite. You know, they hate anyone. But that doesn't contradict that he reciprocates. Because he'll reciprocate with anyone. He doesn't constitutionally hate anyone. They're just neglecting him, so he doesn't recognize them. When someone wants that relationship, he gives it. So because God has no favorite, it means that he can give his love to anyone. But as a person, he lovingly reciprocates. Text 23. Kimcha grajoma vanatam yadutama smayam parish vajja tihitam anjalo griham padeshyapya namasta sakritam samprakshyate kamsakritam sabandeshu. And then Lord Krishna's elder brother, the foremost of the yadus, will grasp my joined hands while I am still standing with my head bowed, And after embracing me, he will take me to his house. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome and inquire for me about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. Then he envisions, because he's an uncle of Krishna, there already is a relationship, then he envisions the affection that Balaram will have, the older brother, who Balaram is the servant of Godhead. Krishna is enjoying, and Balaram expands for all affairs of existence and knowledge. So everything, it's a beautiful concept. God is enjoying, and he expands to do everything else. And that expansion is Balaram in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Knowledge means guru, the potency of God that touches one's heart and gives him the understanding by which one can come back to God. That's called Guru Tattva. It's not just a person, but it's the potency of Krishna that manifests through a particular person. And then describes the etiquette. This occurs in the mood of a servant. And he's standing there with his head bowed. And this is an interesting concept that the consciousness follows the body. So part of spiritual life is placing your body physically in the right place. So the head bows, you feel happy, small, humility. The hands are folded by the chest, you feel like a mood of service. So this is also trying to communicate the beauty of the spiritual world, this relationship. You just imagine your hands are folded humbly before Krishna and Balaram affectionately grasps your joined hands and takes them to his house and then honors with items of ritual welcome. Culture is so nice. When I went to this function today, there was about 10 of us because I was there when the Suchirani died. They have an incredibly beautiful apartment. Super brahminical people. And everything was first class, how everything was done. And then when I left, they're on the fourth floor. They followed me all the way down to the fourth floor. They wanted to get me a car. That was one reason they followed me, to send me back. And I just preferred to walk the half hour through Mayapur. It's just so beautiful. I don't mind walking. But I noticed, there was an elevator. I could have took the elevator in this building. It happened to be the tallest building in Mayapur. So and then They had an envelope for me to give me a donation. And they could have given it to me, but they waited all. And they walked downstairs and said, and when I'm back here at the place I'm staying with Yugal and Jagadish, I was telling how nice the culture was. And because they studied with Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj, he talks a lot about culture. They were mentioning the Manu Samhita. If you follow a guest to the door, but if someone's a special guest, then you follow them all the way out to the front gate. But the culture is a very beautiful thing. It's how to facilitate love, how to facilitate communication, how to facilitate learning. And it's the things you do that create the impressions and the consciousness that create in you a way of moving in the world where the communication is better, where the relationships are better, where the learning is better. And I was just watching, this family is just absolutely cultured. And it creates such a beautiful mood. And they have a child, and their young child, he picks up on it. 10:38:24, Sri Sukha Uvacha, Iti Sanchintayam Krishnam, Supalka Tanayo Dvani, Vatena Gokulam, Vatena Gokulam Prapta, Suryas Chasta Giram Nipa. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, while the son of Supalka, traveling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokula as the sun was beginning to set. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami comments that although Akura did not even notice the road, being deeply absorbed in meditation on Krishna, he still reached Gokula on his chariot. Somehow this absorption, somehow rather than impeding his drive to Vrindavan, it kind of facilitated it. Padani tasya kila lokapala Karita Jista Malapada Reno Didarsha Goste Shitakotikani Vilakshitan Yabja Yavan Kushadayai. In the cowherd pasture, Akura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord distinguished by such marks as the lotus, barley corn, and elephant goad made the ground wonderfully beautiful. Increasingly agitated by the ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hairs standing on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears, Akura jumped down from his chariot, began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, ah, this is the dust of my master's feet. So this is rasa. Rasa means, and this is lila. Lila means the play of God. And rasa means, it's the play of God is based on his own Leela Shakti, his potency, which creates situations to facilitate the exchange of love. Maya Chitana Pasam, what Vyasadeva saw when he saw the absolute truth, he saw the absolute truth was exchanging with his energies. And energy, the essence of all energy is the energy the lover serves. It's the bliss potency. It's called bhakti. And that's put in people's hearts who desire to serve. And the ultimate reality is that incredible exchange of love, heightened love. And we're seeing here how the Leela does it. He sees the footprints and he's agitated by a certain type of ecstasy. called udita. There are things that inflame our love or devotion in relationship to Krishna. And those are things that are in relationship to Krishna. So when you have this intense love and you see the footprints of Krishna, then it's an emotional experience. And that emotional experience, what is, because what is it in exciting? It's exciting our sentiments of love. So our love began to churn in a very high way. He's just seeing the footprints. You know, some things move you. When I went to the Jagannath Mandir with the Italian devotees, and they have the samadhi of Jayananda, my godbrother, who passed away and who was such a devotee of Prabhupada that Prabhupada had him his disappearance day honored on the Vaishnav calendar. So that just somehow, because when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I saw him. And I saw his qualities and his heart. And when someone has that humility, that mood of service, it's reflected in how they look. And immediately I saw that samadhi and I was brought to tears. Just thinking of the heart of a great soul who I had fortune to come in contact with. This is a footprint of God. And therefore there's a tremendous reaction called Saktikabhav, involuntary bodily transformations, like tears or coming from his eyes and his hair is standing on end. He's so filled with love. So naturally he jumps down from his chariot, begins rolling about these footprints. And he's just, this is the dust of my master's feet. Because he's feeling the mercy of God that's allowing him to attain that. And that's so important in bhakti. To feel the mercy of God and develop that mode of appreciation. So this dust for the master's feet, he gets so much love. And part of that love is appropriate glorification and realization of that. And this is how we should enter Vrindavan. We enter in Vrindavan, the first thing we should do is roll in the dust. And in fact, Shastras say that, well, you get loving Godhead easily in Jagannath Puri by the Prasadam. And from Mayapur by the Kirtan of Odaryadam. It's Vrindavan, it's by the dust. So if you really appreciate Vrindavan, you worship the dust. And in fact, there's one ashram that I visit. It's 10 acres. It's within Panchkosh Vrindavan. Hardly anybody's ever seen it. The Kiyastan, it preserves Braj in its original way. And when you go to their temple, it's an open-air temple within some other kind of complex. They have a foot deep, the floor is a foot deep of sifted, spotlessly clean Brajraj, the dust of Vrindavan. And that's bhakti. You're honoring something that otherwise you're recognizing its value. Seham pritam Ihanarto hitpagambam viam shucham. Sadesha dio hare lingo darshana shavanadivi. The very goal of light for all embodied beings is this ecstasy, which a core experience when upon writhing, but when upon reciting, comes his order, right? The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy, prema pumartha mahan, the artha, the result, the value, what has value, the goal, is this ecstasy. This ecstasy is this love. That's the goal. Because why? We are consciousness. And can the fruition of consciousness, the manifestation of consciousness, perfection of consciousness be anything else but love? An overwhelming love? Ecstatic love? So a core is experiencing that. And being humbled by that energy, he puts aside all pride, fear, and lamentation, and absorbs himself hearing and chanting and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. So everyone is responding. Okay, I'm going to stop here for any questions. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi there, Gail.
You said at one point that Akrura was so absorbed during his travel.
Full of what?
Akrura.
Full of what? Yeah.
No, not full. I was saying that during Akrura's travel on the road to Vrindavan, he was so absorbed in anticipation of meeting Krishna that that, you know, even though he wasn't like paying attention to the road, his absorption facilitated his arrival there. And I was, when you were speaking, I was expecting you to say that he got there despite not paying attention to the road, but instead, you said that his not paying attention you said that his absorption actually facilitated his getting there. So you know, there's a difference, you know. And so
what I was thinking is something. I think I got the question, Gail.
Okay.
So what I was thinking is, so that's your chum hum hidivan hidi sunny vishto matasmita ganapa hoja. Krishna says, I'm residing in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So there's definitely a sense of that, that when you, when you worship Krishna, he reciprocates by giving knowledge. There's certainly an element of that here. And therefore, you know, things happen beyond your particular awareness and consciousness, which is one way to look at this. Somehow, because he took shelter of Krishna, he got there anyway, despite not paying attention to the road. And then I think there's another sense that there's an unconscious competence, where there's a certain level where you can do things without being focused on it. And that's another way to look at it. So I was saying the second way, that he was able to, in an unconscious way, perhaps focus on it. You know, just, and then Krishna's also directing. Lord Chaitanya would travel in South India and just wander around, and somehow he would get to the right place. So that's also there. Okay?
Okay, I mean, I don't see how number two is possible without number one, but that's okay.
What was number one and what was number two?
Number one is Krishna reciprocates with your heart. He knows what you want to do, so he facilitates. And number two, you just somehow you're able to do it unconsciously, but I would think that you're able to do it unconsciously because Krishna is reciprocating with what he knows you want
to do. I think both. I think there's a faculty of the mind that can be activated that can interact with things without being too overly absorbed in them. So, okay, anything else, Gail?
No, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I know you. This is Nanda Dolal. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'll praise to Srila Prabhupada.
I will.
I'm remembering you, Mayapur, when I met in front of Bhajan Kutir last time. When and Joydutta Maharaj was there. Now, you see, I just met Joydutta Maharaj in America, in New Jersey, last week. In winter. This is the first time, in many years he is in winter. Maharaj, I have just a small question. That question is, which this tells me, Krishna is omniscient and omnipotent. He knows everything. Why he has to know Radharani's mood when he knows everything to become come as a devotee to release?
Because it appears sequential, because we understand things only in relationship to the oppression of time. But that Krishna is not bound by time. So so it's not like he has to become something. The story of him becoming a devotee is just the lila or existential reality that's existing all the time. It's not like they would, just like it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that God is one, he's inclusive, everything, and then he divides into two. So does that mean, so he becomes Radha and Krishna. Does that mean that at a particular time there was never a Radha and Krishna? Or even a Kishore Leela? So they're all existing eternally. So, we have a limited way of understanding that, but that's the fact, that everything is existing eternally. For example, there's a pastime of when Radha first meets Krishna. But do you think that Radha and Krishna are not in union now, if that pastime hadn't happened? So it's just another dimension that allows us to understand these things. But if we really want to understand them, we have to understand that they're eternal and unlimited. And they're not just historical events. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Henry, Haribo. Hi, Krishna. Looking forward to your house. We got those dates set. Thank you. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bama,
Krishna Maharaj.
So I heard Shastra, Hare Bol, I'll see him in Puri, and then after Shastra, who said hello?
Hare Bol, it's Malone.
Okay, and I'll also see Malone. Wonderful. Thank you. Great. I'm so happy, Malone, that you're so regular on this. Very important to hear regularly. Wonderful.
Yes. Thank you for always offering it.
Anybody else like to say hello? Well, thank you. Makes me so happy. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadev.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol. Hey, Bo.
Who's that?
Maharaj, Mother and Johnny.
Yeah, Mother and... Wow, Mother and Johnny. Hey, Bo. Great.
Hey, Bo. I'm going to write to you soon.
Okay.
On YouTube. Thank you for the class.
Please, please. Thank you. We should definitely talk to you. Okay. We're going to go now because it's kind of getting late. The bunch of called Patrick Shakabasan, the Baby Shakabasan, the Baby Shakabasan, the Baby Shakabasan, the Baby Shakabasan.